you've no doubt heard the rumors about vaccines in the vegetables, right? And we've covered the news on naturalnews.com that there is technology that's being developed to put vaccines into regular grocery vegetables. And you've also probably heard a lot of rumors about graphene oxide in meat products. Now, I just want to assure you that, to my knowledge, there is not yet commercially deployed vaccines into vegetables in the grocery store. Although there may be at some point. And of course, the one thing we've learned in all this is we can't trust the regulators and we can't trust the vaccine companies. You can't trust the government, can't trust the big food corporations. Really, you can't trust anybody, which is why I recommend growing a lot of your own food. I'm going to show you something here in this short podcast, a video of my laser engraving system that's cutting the lids out of the Kratky system, the suspended net pot non-circulating hydroponic food production system that I'm using. And I think that's a big part of the answer to this whole topic. If you're afraid of vaccines being put into groceries, well, grow your own as much as you can. And right now, I'm growing indoors using grow lights. I'm growing strawberries, kale, lettuce, chard. I'm growing herbs. I'm growing cilantro, oregano, mint. What else am I growing? I'm going to be planting soon tomatoes and peppers and doing all kinds of things, even eggplant and so on. Eventually, I even hope to grow melons, although that takes a lot of space, a lot of big leaves with the melons. Nevertheless, this is a big part of the answer to all of these concerns. Now, I don't trust the commercial food supply even when they haven't yet inserted vaccines into them. And again, maybe they're inserting them covertly and they're not telling us. You know, normally it would go through a USDA approval process and there would be some kind of open comment period that's public and people would know about it and there would be, you know, documents that you could research and so on. They would have to show the safety. And even then, frankly, if there were vaccines in vegetables, you would think that the FDA would want to jump in and claim authority over that, because it would turn vegetables into a medical device. And if you've turned vegetables into a medical device, then the FDA would want to have, you know, a say in that. And so far, to my knowledge, that has not happened. So I think the vegetable vaccines are just in the labs at the moment. Now, about the graphene oxide situation, I don't yet know. I mean, I run a food science lab, obviously, and we test for a lot of things in the lab. I don't know any way to test for graphene oxide. And the reason is because, well, it's very difficult to test for carbon and oxygen in some kind of a, you know, lattice matrix form without some very specialized equipment. And maybe there is equipment that can do that, but I don't possess that equipment. And I've looked at a lot of foods under very high power optical magnification, such as 2000 times magnification. And apparently, even at that magnification, you can't see graphene oxide. So it really is going to take a scanning electron microscope. And even then, when you're looking at this under an electron microscope, unless you have a tremendous amount of experience, you don't know what you're looking at. Now, I've worked with other electron microscopy laboratories to image specific molecules. For example, I've imaged rosemary herb extract molecules combining with positively charged silver ions to create an ionic silver nanoparticle, which is used for medicine and is used for a lot of other things. And I've got several projects going in that space. So I've seen those images under an electron microscope, but graphene oxide is even smaller than that. So, and by the way, the imaging that I just referred to already stretched the limits of kind of mainstream electron microscopes, which, you know, there's a limit to what they can do too, just because of the limits of physics and the limits of the resolution of wavelengths that are used, and also how strong of a vacuum you can draw in the imaging chamber in order to avoid interference, all kinds of things. It's actually quite complicated. So I hear a lot of people talking about graphene oxide in meat products, and I'm intrigued by that. I'm a little bit concerned, and I'm open to information. So far, I don't know any way to test for that. And since I like to be, you know, lab-driven when it comes to what's in food, I can't yet say anything about graphene oxide in the food supply other than, you know, a general cause for concern. Let's keep our eyes open. Let's see what else is happening in that realm. I mean, I can test for mercury, obviously. I can test for cadmium and lead, and I can test for glyphosate, and I can test for other certain chemical markers, such as, you know, cannabinoids in CBD extracts and things like that. I can test for pesticides. I can test for microbiology, but I can't test for graphene oxide. And I'm not even sure how to, frankly. So let me show you this video right here. This is a video of my laser etching system, which I just purchased online. It's from a company called NEJE. It was only, I don't know, $400 or $500 something. And then I bought an upgraded laser module, which was another $300. So this whole thing is under $1,000. And then I purchased Lightburn software, which I think was only $60. So not very expensive to get into this. And then I'm able to use this laser to cut these lids, which are polyethylene lids, these very rugged bins that we use to make what's called the Food Rising Mini Farm Grow Box system. And we used to sell these. We don't sell them now because we just don't have enough labor to manufacture these lids. So I was looking at another simpler way to do it, and I found this laser etching system, and it works. So the video you're watching right now is the laser actually burning through this polyethylene and cutting out the holes where the net pots are suspended in these lids. Currently, this is using a laser with about a 15-watt optical output, and the input is something like 40 watts, so it's typically considered a 40-watt laser. And it's a class 4 laser. You don't want to look at it. You'll go blind. You know, you have to wear safety goggles and everything. And it burns through these lids in about 20 to 25 minutes per lid. And it works great. And I'm using this at home right now to make my own lids for expanding this system. But I want to share this with you and even tell you about this, because for under $1,000, you can get this system. You can make your own lids. Or you could just use a hole saw, I guess, and just go old school, have a drill with a hole saw on it and just drill out the, you know, the holes. And that's kind of the low cost way to do it. And that's fine. That totally works as well. But in my view, you need to look up this Kratky system. And Kratky is the name of the scientist who first documented this. It's really an ancient technology, and it's been used in Taiwan. It's a floating raft, like a suspended raft agricultural system that requires no pumps, no circulating water. And the way they used to do it in Taiwan is they would build rafts where they could increase the vertical height of the rafts as the plants became more and more mature. Their roots would reach down farther and farther to the water underneath the raft, and they would increase the height of the raft. And you end up with about half the roots suspended in air and the other half of the roots suspended in the water. And what that does is it gives the plant both the air that it needs for the root system, the aeration, and the water with the suspended nutrients in the water. And then you can grow extraordinary volumes very cheaply. Again, with no circulating pumps whatsoever, you can grow hydroponic vegetables like crazy. And strawberries. I'm actually getting strawberries right now out of my, I think, 18 or 20 strawberry plants that are in these bins. Maybe I'll show you a picture of that. But the system is super low tech, and it works without electricity if you have sunlight or a greenhouse. Or you can use artificial lights and you can grow it that way. But this produces like mad. And this is the answer for so much of what you need to get from the grocery store if you're concerned about food safety or vaccines in the vegetables or what have you. Grow your own food. And you can search on Brightown.com, by the way. Just search for the word Kratky, K-R-A-T-K-Y. And since I've been talking about this and some other people are talking about it, there's been a lot of videos about the Kratky system posted on Brightown.com by other channels. And they're all very informative, and it's a very simple system. And I've been using it for years, and it just absolutely works. It's almost hands off. And the good news is, if the power grid goes down, you don't lose all your vegetables. If you're using other systems like the ebb and flow systems, the NFT, you know, what's or NTF, what is it, the thin film systems, I forgot what that's called, or the aeroponics or aquaponics, if you lose power, you lose your entire crop. But with this Kratky system, since there's no power needed in the first place, you don't lose anything. So it's resistant to power blackouts and grid problems, which is what we're facing in 2022. So it's really the perfect system. And the other reason to grow food using this system is because, of course, of food inflation. So right now, food prices are skyrocketing in the grocery stores. You're probably seeing this yourself. Many food prices are up anywhere between 20 and 70%. And it's only going to get worse from here forward. So whereas before, growing your own food might have seemed like it wasn't worth it because the food was so cheap in the grocery store. Well, now food's very expensive, and also food is increasingly scarce. So there are a lot of shelves that are empty in the produce section, in grocery stores, not just in North America, but around the world. And it can vary from region to region. You may not see a problem in your local area yet, but it's going to get worse because we have a supply chain breakdown. We have logistics problems. We have increased fuel prices that are going to affect food deliveries. And with more lockdowns probably coming because of the hype surrounding the Omicron variant, we could have more disruptions in the food supply chain, you know, regardless of price. There might be a day where you just can't get it no matter how much you want to pay. So under these circumstances, it makes a tremendous amount of sense to grow your own food, especially when you can grow it in a way that's completely organic. So if you're comparing your homegrown food versus organic lettuce or organic tomatoes or organic peppers, for example, then suddenly you're growing like a gold mine of value. There's a tremendous amount of value in organic produce. And so whatever investment you're making in the bins or the fertilizers or even the laser etching system or what have you, that can pay off very quickly in terms of lowered grocery bills. But the most important reason to do this, in my opinion, is because this is one of the greatest acts of resistance against centralization and tyranny. Because you see, food scarcity is being engineered into the global depopulation plan. And they're going to have limits, rationing on what you can purchase. And I believe in 2022, we're going to see food riots in America, in certain cities. Well, when they have rationing in place, that means that you're only allowed to buy a certain amount of food. But any food that you grow yourself is considered off-grid food. In other words, food that they don't know about. So even if you're limited on what you can purchase at the grocery store, you can augment that with food that you grow yourself that may be the difference between starvation and survival. You see what I mean? So growing your own food is not just an act of resistance against tyranny. It's an act of survival and prepping. And also, it's the ultimate investment in your own good health, because now you're growing foods that are organic and that don't have, you know, random vaccines or whatever in them. They're not genetically modified. You're using heirloom seeds. This is the way to be healthy, to be resilient, to be self-reliant, and to survive starvation or famine or anything else that's going on out there. Okay. So that's my explanation of why growing your own food is absolutely critical. Now, of course, you can check out more videos on brightown.com. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Read my articles on naturalnews.com. And I hope to put out more videos about food growth systems, because I think this is critical for all of our survival moving forward. But thank you for listening today. Have a great day. Take care.